make some noise that has the power to give away distraction and seek him that dwells in the midst of the coals of fire.
Apostle Michael Ape Orokpo is a prophetic teacher of God's word with a strong apostolic authority. He's an apostle sent to revive and set man ablaze for Yahweh. He's a preacher to the youth and carries a message of revival to quicken the feeble in the nations.
When will that generation rise that have stamina in God's presence? A generation that can look upon him until the light breaks out of the spirit realm. If our service exceeds 3 hours, people are tired. How can you be tired in God's presence? The realm where life dwells.
As a revivalist par excellence and an itinerant preacher, Apostle Michael Ape Orokpo's bedding and passion in life is to have men and women walk in the tangible experience of God and maximize the full scope of their eternal ordinations.
How can you come to the fountains of life and instead of being reinvigorated, you are tired? He said times of refreshing comes from the presence of the Lord. He said they go from strength to strength. Every one of them in Zion that appeared before the Lord. How come our generation cannot break out of flesh and enter the chambers of life?
Apostle Michael Ape Orokpo is the president and founder of the Encounter Jesus Ministries International, situated in Abuja, Nigeria, with a mission of the creation of a platform for encountering the Lord and furnishing his experiential knowledge in the hearts of men. He holds a BSc, bachelor's degree in pure chemistry, an MSc, master's degree in physical chemistry, and a doctorate degree in chemistry from the Benue State University of Agriculture, Makurdi, BSU. Apostle Michael Ape Orokpo and runs an online mentoring program where he mentors thousands of people into knowing God experientially and fulfilling their purpose within the context of God's will. Apostle Michael Orokpo is married to Mrs. Osenega Michael Orokpo and they are blessed with a child.
Let's just lift our hands and honor him, even as we see what the Holy Ghost will be doing in the next 2 hours. Just talk to him one more time from the depths of your heart. Honor the Lord with the voice of triumph. Perakos, Nariga, Parakai, Laziza, Antarados. Zezalila Kiriando Braskevale Shatadina. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray in the Spirit. Please go ahead and pray. Peras Nevele Kakira. Manda ragaba la kira paranano. Selekae Zazira Parado Salavanda Hada. Zarigabundre Kamaladina Sanda. Alia, Alia, Alia.
Zion's King, Kadosh, Kadosh. Almighty on your throne. You reign, you ancient Zion's King, adore.
Thank you for all you are doing, and thank you for all you will yet do. Tonight our hearts are hungry, we come full of expectations, and we ask that you visit us again. Let it be an overflowing of your spirit upon us, meeting everyone at the point of faith tonight, in the name of Jesus Christ. You may be seated. Let me share briefly. I don't know what you are trusting the Lord for, but tonight it is answered. We've been on this mountain, or better still, I've joined you on this mountain, and we've had some sessions, intense sessions in God's presence. As is what you always experience here, I can tell. But tonight, the Lord is not just pouring out himself upon us as a spirit of revival, but he wants to address specific needs in the lives of people. I thought someone with expectations would be excited. And so he put a word in my spirit, not without a witness. You know, humanity, or the human race, is the youngest species in the creations of God. When you begin to look into the scrolls of heaven, and you begin to study the Holy Writ, you will discover that the project of creation in itself is superior to time, because time itself was created. And when you begin to study the writings of the prophets who had access to the oracles of God, you will discover that there are realms that existed before this realm, which is governed by time, was created. And what that goes to mean is that there are realms that are not governed by time. And so as potent as time is, there are other frames of references in other aeons that is superior to time. If you step into eternity, what you use for reference is not time. The way the earth is framed is such that you cannot reference reality on earth without time. But that is peculiar to time. When you journey out of the earth into Zion, you will find other realms that are regulated by other realities. If you get into eternity, eternity is framed into moments. Moments of glory. Moments of encounters. Moments of the unveiling of the Spirit of God. And so the earth happens to be the youngest in God's creation. And humankind also happens to be the youngest species in God's creation. In fact, when John was carried to heaven, he began to see different entities. He saw angelic functionaries, and even among the angels, he saw some angels that were designated as strong angels. Now, the parameter by which you distinguish between a weak angel and a strong angel, he didn't allow us to glean into that. But he said, I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals. So John told us that angels are in cages. And then he said the strong angel was weeping. While the angel was yet weeping, I realized people weep in heaven. But the reason why they weep is not mundane. When they weep in heaven, they weep about heritages and inheritances. Because it's a realm of thrones. It's a realm of dominions. And so heritage is a matter of great priority. And so when they looked at the earth realm and discovered the heritage of humankind was about to be eroded, John began to weep. Because for the first time, he came to where reality really matters. Where they don't judge men by cars, they judge men by their standing with God. Because when you get to Zion, the throne you sit on is what determines your rank. And among the human race, he discovered we had no legislators in Zion. And so he began to weep. And while he was yet weeping, another creature walked to him, and he was called an elder. And he said, one of the elders said unto me, weep not, for behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, he has prevailed. And so even in the world of spirits, they are elders. Now when you touch the elders, touch the archangels, touch the thrones, touch the dominion, you are rating spirits in the spirit realm. God now decided to create a last born, and he called us man. So we are the youngest among the ancients. Now, because we are the youngest, there is a tendency of every other spirit to want to marginalize us, especially the ones that are not submitted to the government of God. Because among the ancients, there is one of those spirits who decided to rebel against the government of God. Because when God created his realm, he created his realm to be a realm of rulers only. So when you come to heaven, in fact, when Paul was writing in Colossians 1, 15 and 16, he said, Jesus is the first among all creatures, both visible and invincible. And he began to list them according to their rank. And he said, some are thrones. He said, some are dominion. Now, in the realm of the spirit, there are some creatures that are thrones. Because of their authority, they are themselves. The spirit realm is a strange realm. They are themselves called thrones. And others are called dominion. A prince that is called a throne is a co-ruler with God. He has grown to a level where God decides to share with him the secrets of creation. Those are the type they call elders. That's why when you enter the throne room, they said there are 24 thrones and upon them are 24 elders. Now, anything you can't know, those elders will tell you. They are the ones who told us why the earth was created. They said all things were created for your pleasure. So when men want to play, they play cricket. When God wants to play, he displays power. Now, that kind of secret is not available to every angel. Only the thrones know those secrets because God shared with them the secret of creation. That's why when John was crying, only an elder could tell him, weep not. Because what an angel did not know was already in the past for an elder. They are called thrones. And then when you leave the realm of thrones, you have dominions. A dominion is a prince that has a territory. Because among the angels, there are those God decides to share secrets with, to co-rule with him. And there are others God sent out and apportions territories to them. So when Paul was talking about thrones and dominions, he was showing us the stratification of the spirit realm. And so he said there are dominions. A dominion is a creature that has a territory allocated to him. That's why when man was created in Genesis 1:26, he said, let them have dominion. But the proof that they can be dominion is that the earth was given to them. He said the heavens belong to God, but the earth he has given to the sun. If you don't have the territory, you are not a dominion. So you have thrones, and then you have dominions, and then you have principalities. A principality is a prince that has no territory. So the way a principality rules is that he subordinates a throne, a dominion. It's in his assistant to a dominion that he wins territories. In fact, principalities means come first. So when a dominion wants to conquer more territories, he sends a principality. So a principality goes, conquers the territory, and couples himself with the dominion to co-rule with him. And then you have powers. Powers are the creatures that bring men under government. In darkness, they create addiction. In light, they create hunger. And so when you are seeking God, you are not seeking God because you are wise. You are seeking God because a power is at work. What that power does is that it afflicts you with hunger. Hunger for God. But you see, because man was a young creature, he didn't have understanding in the realm of light. The princes that existed with God before earth was created, they knew the ways of God. And so one of them rebelled against God. And so what he did was that he began to look for another territory where he can exert authority. Because if you don't have a territory, you can't rule in the realm of Zion. And so what he did was to sneak into the dominion that was in Eden. And he told him, you can rebel against God, nothing will happen. He knew the consequence. And the law of the spirit is such that whoever you yield yourself servant to obey, the servant of him you are whom you have obeyed. And so when the man was deceived to obey him, he shifted his allegiance from God to that prince. So the prince took over the earth realm. And so when he was tempting Jesus in the garden, he said, bow to me, I will give you the glory of the world, for it has been delivered to me. Jesus didn't argue with him because it's true. A dominion called Adam had willed the earth to this one that was in rebellion. And so what I try to say here is this. Because the older spirits are older than men and wiser than men, what they do is to manipulate men so they can marginalize them. And so when God saw that our naivety in the realm of wisdom had become a plague and a body, he decided to bring witnesses that will help us live on earth the victorious life. And so the first thing... if God does not leave us with such witnesses, will be victims. And so the first thing he did was to also outsmart that dominion, because the dominion was playing a politics of spirits. The politics of spirits is legalistic. If you rebel, you must die, because the justice of God can't allow it. The way the realm works is that God can't deny himself. When you touch God, you will find four things, and these four things are the things that dictate the motion in the courts of heaven. The first is the wrath of God. The wrath of God is what keeps the justice system of heaven. It is in the context of the wrath of God that he says the wages of sin is death. It doesn't matter who you are. If you sin, you must die. The second thing you will find is the love of God. The love of God is so strong that when you sinned, it became difficult for God to kill you. But if God doesn't kill you, he will deny himself. And then you have the mercy of God. The mercy of God was even so bold that the mercy of God insists that mercy will prevail over judgment. So even though the judgment is for you to be destroyed, the mercy of God says no. Now, technically speaking, God is in a fix, because his wrath insists that you are destroyed, and his mercy says you will not be destroyed, and his love is looking for a way to save you. And so the equation had to be balanced in the throne room so that justice and equity can be upheld, in order for God to be able to bring a witness that will preserve you. And so what God did was that he created a wisdom, because the balance in the realm of God is wisdom. And God is the oldest of all spirits, so he's wiser than all of them. So even though this dominion caused man to rebel, what God did was that he went into the studio of eternity and he took off the garment of divinity. And he put upon himself the garment of a man. And so because of the love of God, he was able to remove his glory and to put on the denatured man's garment. And then he sneaked into earth through the womb of a woman. And so when he sneaked into earth through the womb of a woman, he became legally a man. And now that he has become legally a man, he decided to receive the verdict of death upon himself. So God became a man and God died. Now that God has died, the wrath of God has been satisfied. And now that God has died for man, the love of God has also been satisfied. And so when God went to Hades, he now took the power that the devil took from man, and he collected it back and came back to man, gave man the power and became God and went back to heaven. We are not without a witness. The reason is because the love of God has us secured. That's why the Bible said, even while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The only thing we qualified for was death. God decided to die in our place. Are you seeing the extent God was willing to go because of you? That's why if the devil comes now and tells you you will die, you look at him and say, you came late. Jesus has already become man. Jesus has already died. Jesus has already risen. Jesus is already glorified. Jesus is already in heaven. I cannot die but live to proclaim the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. We are not without a witness. Please sit down. I want to take it gradually, because God is not only going to heal people tonight. After he heals you, he will empower you to become a healer. And so the first witness we have is the love of God. That when all we deserve was death, God decided to die for us. We merited nothing, but he was willing to give up himself. In fact, Paul speaking in Romans 8:32, he said, if he withheld not his son, but freely gave him for us, how shall he not with him give us all things? And so the devil comes to rubbish you with poverty, and you look at him, you say, Jesus, rich as he was, he became poor, so that through him I might be made rich. It's too late for you to intimidate me with poverty. It's called the witness of the believer. That's why Jesus sent us out, to tell the world that the price has been paid, and that everybody breathing air now has the right to a glorious life. We are not without a witness. Christ has come, Christ has died, and Christ has risen. And he did not just rise, we are risen with him in glory. But you see, the devil is a rebellious spirit, and God knows. So God did not just balance the equation and left. When he left some weapons. The weapons are the things I want to talk about this night. Because the real witness is the weapons. Because God knows that the devil will come to fight. The devil will come to challenge and to contend with what he has made available. And so God did not just clear our names, but God left us a weapon. In case the devil chooses to rebel, we should silence him. And we should enforce our victory. Because the devil will want to come to make it look as if what God did is a lie. He said, in case he shows up, use these weapons to prove to him that it's not a lie. And so the first weapon God left us is a name. You see, in a service like this, you don't need an anointing. If men can see truth, everybody will walk into their victory. If you can see it, you'll just walk into it. I've been to several meetings. I just share casually like this. Without praying for the sick, 40, 50 persons healed instantly. Because nothing liberates like the truth. He said, thou shalt know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Every one of us who is in Christ has a weapon called the name of Jesus. And listen, that name was not given for you to make it powerful. The name was actually given to make you powerful. So you are not the one empowering the name. The name is the one empowering you. So when you have the name, it should bring rest and assurance. Because before the name was given to you, the name was decorated. In Philippians chapter 2 verse 9, he said, because of his perfect obedience, he said, God gave him a name that is above every other name. He said, at that name, every knee shall bow. In case you don't understand the jurisdiction, he said, both in heaven, on earth, and the world beneath. Now, that is a royal decree. You need to understand something about this name. Because this name was not given to Jesus. Jesus does not need a name to be powerful. Jesus is God. The Bible said, in the beginning was the Word. It said, the Word was with God, and the Word was God. It said, the same was with God in the beginning. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life. The life was the light of men. If Jesus created all things, he wouldn't need a name to rule over all things. He's the creator of all things. In fact, if you go to Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3, he said he sustains all things by the word of his power. Everything is working because of him. So he doesn't need a name to conquer. The name Jesus was given for mankind. Because as Jesus, he was the representative of the human race. So when the name was named, it was not him that the name was actually given to. Because he left the name and went to heaven.
It is those of us on earth who are here that are named after the Lord. That's why Proverbs, the Bible said, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. It said the righteous runneth therein and they are saved. He had to leave the name for us because in heaven he's called Elohim. But he knows you. The devil will come to fight you. And so what he gave you, in order to be vitally representative of his person, was to take his name. And so the name Jesus was given to humanity. Humanity that will stay behind as his witness. So every one of us who is staying behind now, we are the bearers of that name. Let me give you two scriptures. Isaiah 43, verse 6 to 7. Hear what the Bible says. It says, I will say to the north, give up to the south, keep not back, bring my sons from far and my daughters from the ends of the earth. See verse 7. It says, everyone that is called by my name. And so God was looking for a way of putting his name on the human race. It was in Christ that the legality for men to be called after God was perfected. It was something God desired to do because the invincibility of humanity will be tied to their receiving the legal right to be called the name of God. But that right was never available until Jesus came. In Deuteronomy chapter 28 verse 10, hear what the Bible says. It says, and all the people of the earth shall see that thou art called by the name of the Lord. These are prophecies. A time is coming where the whole world will no longer call you after your name. A time is coming where the whole world will no longer call you after your father's name. They will call you after a name superior to your father's name. The name they will call you will be the name of the Lord himself. Because if they call you after your father, anything that kills your father will kill you. If they call you after your tribe, anything that destroys your tribe will destroy you. But if they call you after God, because nothing can kill God, nothing can kill you. Because nothing can destroy God, nothing can destroy you. This is the strategy that God had in place for humankind. And so they look at you. They cannot say, Jesus has cancer. They cannot say, Jesus has diabetes. If your name is Mensa can have cancer. If your name is Kusi can have cancer, but not Jesus. Not Jesus. And so because God knows that all our human names have limitation, he decided to substitute it and name his name upon us. In fact, if you look at the children of Israel, the reason they were invincible was because the moment they are born, they placed the name of God on them. In Numbers chapter 6, from verse 22 to 27, the Bible said to Moses, it says, say unto Aaron, tell Aaron this commandment. This is what Aaron must do to all the children of Israel. He said, bless them, saying, the Lord keep you. The Lord be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance unto you. The Lord give you peace. And in verse 27, he said, ensure that the name of the Lord is named upon every one of them. Because a man who is called after God becomes invincible. And so what God did for us in salvation is that Jesus added his name to every one of us. Somebody said that is why before you introduce yourself, you call I am first. When you say I am Kusi, you are actually saying God Kusi. Because God is I am. So you can't say I am have cancer.
No,
we don't know how to be sick. We don't know how to be poor. We don't know how to be weak. Why? Because the name of the Lord has been named upon us. If you enter this truth, the devil will fear you. People will think you are proud. Don't you know name is a validation? Even among men, there are names that open doors. You don't know that? When I came into your country, they received me straight to the VIP unit. They don't care about me. But I came in the name of Nanase Opoku Sarkodie. As far as they are concerned, they are receiving the prophet. It doesn't matter if I was short. It doesn't matter if I was tall. It doesn't matter if I was fair. It doesn't matter if I was dark. I entered in his name, and the only place suit for me was VIP. Imagine if you come in the name of the Lord. How can cancer accommodate you? How can poverty accommodate you? How can weakness accommodate you? I decree over someone, in the name of Jesus, every calamity you came with, they go down now. Are you following? This is the gospel. We are not without a witness. Since I came into Ghana, I've been treated like a king. Nobody cared about my bank account. Nobody cared if I was in debt from Nigeria. But so long as I'm in Ghana, I'm just cruising on the name of Nanasei. And so on that name, I eat what I want, I drink what I want, I sleep where I want, on another man's name. Imagine if you are now living from the name of God. Imagine. You come to your office, they say you are finished. Say, no, I don't finish. The name of the Lord is named upon me. The doctor tells you you will die. You say, no, I cannot die. The name of the Lord is named upon me. They tell you there is bad luck on your life. There is failure on your life. You say, no, the name of the Lord is named upon me. Anything that can happen to Jesus cannot happen to me. Somebody shout! Give the Lord a shout! You are God. You are not just big. You are not just large. You are the great God. You are God.
You are God. You are not just big. You are not just large.
And tell your neighbor, from today, I stop spending from my account. I start spending from the name of Jesus. I receive favor. I receive breakthrough.
I receive power.
I receive power. Because the name of Jesus has become my name.
You are a great. You are.
are not a victim. Can you imagine what will happen if the president of your country tells you anywhere you go, tell them I sent you? Imagine the boldness with which you will start walking. Imagine how your life will change. The president didn't give you money. He just tells you, any door you open, tell them I sent you. And in case they refuse, call me. Because that's what Jesus told us. If you go and they refuse, he said, ask the Father whatever you want in my name. This is why faith is natural to the believer. Because he knows what works. He knows. From tonight, everything that has negated the quality of your existence, they go down in the name of Jesus. I wish I was in Nigeria. I would have sang some songs. Some strange songs. Hey, you have to teach me some Ghanaian songs. Teach me some songs. I'm sensing an oil. I need a song to communicate with you. Delekeja Piata. Aradana Dada. Oh! O me ma na rekele dima, o me ma na rekele, o me ma na rekele dima, o me ma chimo na rekele. I will, Martin, teach me some songs.
Yes, sir.
Teach me some songs. Somebody give the Lord a
yeah!
I decree,
Jesus,
every power standing against you from tonight, in the name of Jesus, they go down. I command every infirmity right now by the power of the name of Jesus, they go down. I command blindness be healed in the name of Jesus. I command deafness open in the name of Jesus. Growths in the body vanish in the name of Jesus. We are not without a witness. Every day you go home, go with the consciousness, I have a weapon. And that weapon is the name of Jesus. Every demon knows that name. Every sickness knows that name. Every man knows that name. Because he said, at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord. It's a royal decree in the spirit. Please sit down. Did you not see what Jesus told us? The first thing that happened is that you run into the name of the Lord as a strong tower. Proverbs 18 verse 10. Looking for safety. Then the second thing that happens is that the name is named upon you. But the third thing that happens is superior to the first two. The third thing that happens is that the name becomes a weapon. He said in Mark 16, 17, he said, my name cast out devils, become a terror to demons in my name. At first, you were running into the name of Jesus to hide. Then the name of Jesus was put upon you. But at last, he said, no, don't just wear the name. Carry the name like a weapon. And he said, cast out devils. Heal the sick. If you drink any deadly thing, it cannot hurt you. Because by that name, you become invincible. And so I decree over someone tonight, you enter the invincible realm of life.
Amen.
Is somebody coming alive in the spirit? And somebody being awakened in the spirit? Shout Jesus!
Jesus!
Channels of my spirit, open up. I am with the Father, open up. No boundaries, no limit. Open up. Let it fall unto you. Open up. Everything locked in your life, they open up now in the name of Jesus. Please sit down. The first witness the believer has is the love of God. That love that made God to reach out to him even when he was a sinner. That love that made God to take his judgment and die in his place. But the second witness the believer has is the name of Jesus. A strong tower he runs into, a garment that he puts on, and a weapon with which he fights. The third witness of the believer is the blood. We have too many insurance systems to be victims in life. In fact, if a Christian is a victim, angels wonder how. Only few angels carry the name of God. When God was talking to Moses, he said, my presence will not go with you, but I will send my angel before you. He said, be careful of this angel because he carries my name. When an angel carries the name of God, they fear him in the spirit. And today, every believer is a carrier of that name. That's why we are not in the era of Moses. Every one of us carries the name of God. Imagine what we are, that we are not aware of. And as if that is not enough, we now carry the blood. You know what the blood does? The blood creates an exemption. The reason things happen to people and it cannot happen to you, even when you are not praying, is because the blood speaks for you. Because the children of Israel were not praying in Egypt, but when the angel of death came, he knew the ones that carried the blood. And so it's a mystery for a believer to be a victim. That's why you must refuse to be a victim. The blood of Jesus is on your life. It's creating a strategy of exemption for you. I know this thing so much that I'm not afraid of evil. Things don't happen to me. I make things happen. He said, even if you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you shall fear no evil. I have a technology of exemption on my life. It's called the blood of Jesus. It's a technology in the spirit. And everyone who is born of God, the blood is speaking for him. Because you were redeemed by the blood. In Colossians chapter 1, from verse 12 to 14, he said, giving thanks to the Father, who has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. We were made partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. And he went further to verse 13. He said, who had delivered us? Hear the tenses. These are past tense. He didn't say he will deliver us. He didn't say he is going to deliver us. He didn't say he is delivering us. He said, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. And he went to verse 14 and he told us how he did it. He said, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin. So what redemption did was to deliver us from the power of darkness. I can no longer be held by darkness. why I told you the blood creates exemption. They can tell you they are laying off every staff. You tell yourself, not me. I don't know how, but there's something about me. I'll be exempted. They will think it's a cliche, but when you say it, it happens. Then they now come to you and say, what are you doing? Then you tell them, Jesus is my Lord. That's a better way to preach the gospel. They say people are dying of a disease. You say, not me. There's a technology of exemption at work in me. When people die, they walk up to you and say, what are you doing? You say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me lie down in green pasture. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restored my soul. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table for me before my enemies. My cup runneth over. Yea, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I told you yesterday, we are not preachers, we are witnesses. And one of the ways we witness is through exemption. What happens to people in the world don't happen to us. We live above the world system. We live above the power and the evil of this age. They can't explain it, but they just know that these people, there is something about them. Did you not read about the children of Israel? Death happening everywhere, not in Goshen. And even when they left Egypt and they walked through the wilderness, the Bible said they tasted not why he led them. They tasted not. It said he cleaved the rock for them and the waters gushed out. The Bible said there was none feeble among their tribe. Their shoes and their garments was growing with them. And you wonder, who are these people? A point came, their fame went abroad, that if they are coming into a city, they say, be careful, these people are coming again. It's called the blood. Everyone seated here, the blood is speaking for right here, right now. The problem we have is that we don't know how to administer the blood. And so I give you two ways of administering the blood quickly. Number one is by the communion table. That's where the invincibility is. Paul was speaking in 1 Corinthians 11 from verse 23 to 26. He said, I deliver unto you that which I received from our Lord Jesus, that in the night that he was betrayed, he took bread and gave thanks. He broke it, gave to them, and they ate. And he said, this is my body that is broken for you. That means my body is broken, yours will not be broken anymore. When his body was broken, Isaiah 53 verse 5 tells us what happened. He said he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. By his stripes we were healed. So when the bread is broken, it means your own body can't be broken anymore. Typhoid can't break your body. Malaria can't break your body. COVID can't break your body. Tuberculosis can't break your body. Cancer can't break your body. Because his body is already broken for you. Our faith is not baseless. Our faith has a spiritual basis. And he said when he was done, he took the cup. And after he had supped, he gave thanks. And gave to them to drink. And he said, this is the blood of the new covenant in my name. And he said, as often as you do this, you proclaim the Lord's death. So every time we administer the communion table, we are proclaiming the power and the operation of the resurrection. How can you be a victim? You have to be brainwashed to think you are a victim. Because you have too many witnesses and too many things in your advantage. His body was broken for you. The blood is a testimony of the new covenant. And he said that blood speaketh better things than the blood of Abel. That blood speaks your forgiveness. That blood speaks your deliverance. That's why he said they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. The blood of the Lamb is administered in the communion table. And the second way to administer the blood is by the words of your testimony. Because the blood is representative of the new covenant. And in case you don't understand the new covenant, I tell you two things that the new covenant did for us. The first thing the new covenant did for us is that it upgraded humanity. In Matthew 16, from verse 16 to 18, Jesus asked them a question. He said, "Who do men say I, the Son of Man, I am?" And they couldn't give any answer. And Peter spoke and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus said, "Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father which is in heaven." And he said, "Thou art Peter. Upon this revelation, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Two things happened in that scripture. When Peter said, "You are the Christ," he was referring to two things. The first thing he referred to was the fact that he called him the Messiah, the messenger of God to humanity. Because that's what the word represents. It's the word Mashiach in the Hebrew. It means you are the messenger that we are waiting for to save us. And so when Peter proclaimed him to be the Christ, what Peter was saying is that the whole calamity of earth is about to come to an end because the Messiah has come. You are that Messiah. If he stopped there, it would have been good enough. But that's not all there is about the Christ. On one side, the Christ referred to God's messenger coming to save humanity. But on another side, the Christ also means God's strategy of upgrading man. Because when you say the word Mashiach in the Hebrew, it represents three things. Number one, it represents the anointing for empowering a prophet. Number two, it represents the anointing for empowering a priest. And number three, it represents the anointing for empowering a king. In Exodus 30 verse 30, it said, "Select unto me Aaron and his son, and Mashiach them into the priest's office." And so when Mashiach is used, a priest is ordained. And if you study again in 1 Kings chapter 6 verse 19, chapter 9 verse 16, he said Mashiach Jehu as a king of Syria, and Elisha the son of Shaphat as the prophet in your stead. And so every time Mashiach is used, a priest is ordained, a prophet is ordained, and a king is ordained. So when Peter said, "You are the Christ," when he said, "You are the Mashiach," what Peter was saying is that you are the priest, the prophet, and the king. And Jesus is not just priest, prophet, and king for himself. In him we became priest. In him we became prophet. In him we became king. So what the Christ did was to upgrade our existence. And so when a man is coming in the Christ, he also has access to the voice of God, because now he can also hear God. When a man is coming in the Christ, he has access to God's presence because he has entered the priesthood. And when a man is coming in the Christ, he also becomes a ruler because he has entered the kingship of Christ. This is why Revelation 1:6 said, "He has washed us and made us kings and priests unto God." A prophet has access to the voice of God. A priest has access to the presence of God. And a king is a ruler in the stead of God. And so in the Christ, you become God's priest. In the Christ, you become God's king. And in the Christ, you become God's prophet. How can a king, priest, and prophet be disadvantaged? It's impossible for you to be defeated. Do you know what it means to stand in God's presence? In the Old Testament, the high priest enters there once in a year. Today, you are not entering once in a year. When you step out, you carry God's presence like a canopy. When the high priest enters once in a year, he makes atonement for the whole Israel. Imagine you living with the presence of God. How can your family be disadvantaged? How can your job be a disadvantage? You carry more than the high priest of old. You are not just entering in and out of God's presence. Now you live there. He said the Holy Ghost shall be with you and in you forever. And so every one of us here, carries a dimension that carries God's presence, carries a rulership dimension that wields God's authority, and also carries a dimension that carries God's voice. How can you be a victim? Next time the devil troubles you, tell yourself, I am in Christ, and so me too, I have access to the voice of God. And then you start checking in the spirit. What you are doing is that you are looking for the voice of God. Where is that voice? Where is the voice? The moment you catch it, you become invincible. Next time the devil comes to play with you, tell him, I'm not the slave that you defeated in sin. In Christ Jesus, I've been upgraded. I'm now a ruler. I'm a king now in the order of Melchizedek. I am not your victim anymore. I am now a joint heir with Christ. I rule in the affairs of God. That's how you administer the blood. You administer the blood by making personal everything Jesus represents. So Philemon 1 verse 6, the Bible said that the communication of your faith will become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing that is in you. Everything Jesus represented as a man is now yours for the taking. And so now, right where you are sitting, you may not have any seed in your pocket, but you are a king. It's not a seed that makes you a king. It's Christ that makes you a king. And if you know it well enough, the seeds will come with time. We are more than a conqueror. You are more than a conqueror. Are you learning something? Is your spirit being charged? Are you seeing that that mountain is too small to limit you? I tell people, it's not all the times we remove mountains. You remove mountains when you are on ground. When you fly, you don't need to remove mountains. It's a man who is on ground that needs to remove a mountain. When a man begins to fly, the mountain can be there. It's no longer an obstacle. Both the mountain and the location, you have gone ahead of it. Did you not read about Jesus? Moses parted the Red Sea. Elijah parted Jordan. When Jesus showed up, he walked on water. Faith has levels. Faith has levels. And so, it's not all the time you need to part. Sometimes you walk on the water to send a warning signal to the devil that the man you are joking with is a danger to your territory. They are those demons fear. They are men with revelation. He knows you carry too much light to be manipulated. And when a man carries light, he said the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. As you walk out of this meeting, you will enter your rulership. You will enter your dominion. And you will reign in this life. The second way to administer the blood is by entering your reality. Let me explain something to you. The man who fell was called the first Adam. The authority the devil took for ruling the world was the authority of the first Adam. When God wanted to restore humanity, he didn't just need to collect back that authority. What God did was to send a second Adam. Now, the reason Jesus was able to cast out demons even before going to hell is because he too is an Adam. You know, Adam had the legal authority over the earth realm. He handed over that authority to the devil. Are you following? While Jesus was walking on the earth, he wanted to reclaim the authority of the first Adam But Adam himself was also an Adam. And so while he was walking on earth, he was using his authority as the second Adam to cast demons, to rebuke devils, and they obeyed him because Adam owned this earth. Now, we, before salvation, were all in the first Adam. And so Jesus had to pay the just price to deliver us. That was why he died. That was why he went to Hades. So his perfect sacrifice qualified him to receive the authority that the first Adam through disobedience lost. Now, when Jesus resurrected from the dead and entered the room, he said, all hail the king. And he told them something. He said, all power in heaven and on earth has been given to me. The reason is because he collected the authority of the first Adam and he gave it back to the church. But that's not the only authority he gave us. Before he left, he didn't need to be Adam anymore. And so in addition to the authority of the first Adam, he also gave us the authority of the second Adam. So Paul was teaching, and this is what Paul said. In 1 Corinthians 15 from verse 45, he said the first Adam was of the earth, so he was earthy. He said, but the second Adam is the Lord from heaven. He said the first Adam was a living soul. He said, but the second Adam was a life-giving spirit. He's trying to show you the rank, because the second Adam is superior to the first Adam. He said, the first Adam came from the earth. He said, but the second Adam came from heaven. Now, if with the authority of the first Adam, the devil is able to rot the kind of things he wrought, now that we have the authority of the second Adam, what should we be like? Because the Adam who was a living soul was strong enough to give the whole earth to the devil. Now the Lord from heaven has handed over his authority to us. So in Christ Jesus, we are not just wielding the power of the first Adam, we are also wielding the power of the second Adam. So in the second Adam, we are not just forgiven. In the first Adam, we are forgiven. In the first Adam, we are healed. In the first Adam, we are saved. But in the last Adam, we are not forgiven. In the last Adam, as he is, so are we in this world. In the last Adam, he said, whomever sins you forgive, they are forgiven. In the last Adam, he said, whatsoever you do, it shall prosper. In the last Adam, you have become like the Lord from heaven. That's why he told his disciples, whomever sins you forgive, they are forgiven. Men don't forgive sin. But when you come into the economy of the last Adam, you can do what he does. That's why he said, we are joint heirs with Christ. And sickness is not one of God's inheritance. Fear is not one of God's inheritance. Defeat is not one of God's inheritance. If you had the authority of the first Adam, it would have been enough. But now that you have the authority of the last Adam, you have become like a God walking on earth. I tell you, angels wonder how men are oppressed, because what they have is too many for them to be victims. You are walking in the order of the life-giving spirit. You are walking in the order of the Lord from heaven. You are walking in the order of the quickening spirit, because as he is, so are you. Paul said, because we are born the image of the first, he said, in the same vein, we should also bear the image of the last Adam. And the last Adam is a quickening spirit. That means you are not supposed to be trying to be healthy. If you touch a sick person, that sick person will be healed. Because now, you are a quickener. That's why Jesus told us, lay hands on the sick, they will recover. Jesus didn't tell us to pray for the sick. When you go to the scripture, he didn't tell us to pray for the sick. He said, lay hands on them, they will recover. If you touch them, the technology of the quickening spirit will be transferred. And there were men like Paul who understood this. He said, handkerchiefs and aprons were taken from the body of Paul, and those handkerchiefs were casting out devils. The handkerchief didn't say in the name of Jesus. How did the demons hear? Because the second Adam is Lord from heaven. Anything that leaves him carries authority. The Bible said Peter was coming out of the place of prayer, and he said, I don't need to pray for you. Put them on the road. He said, the shadow of Peter was healing the sick. Because the second Adam is a quickening spirit. How can a man whom shadow heal the sick die of sickness? I prophesy over someone tonight. From this night, everything you touch comes alive. And I decree over you, everything dying in you, now they are restored. In the name of Jesus. You carry the quickening spirit. Why do you think we blow on people they fall? It's life. When you breathe, it's not air. When you breathe, it's the Holy Ghost. The quickening spirit hides on your inside now. It's not religion. It happens on the streets. It happens in the market. It happens everywhere. These men are hungry. Turn the fire. You are not ordinary. There's something you carry. You carry a quickening spirit. And so when next you come home and the devil wants to trouble you, tell him, I know who I am. I know who I am. We are not of them that weary. We are not of them you can discourage. No, we represent God on earth. That's why he kept us here. We are not representative of a government. We are not representative of a people. It's honorable enough to represent a human government. The ambassador of Ghana to America is treated like a president. But we are not representing an earthly government. We are representing God on the face of the earth. And so when you want to see God, you see us. That's who we are. We represent God. That's why demons tremble at our presence. You are not ordinary. You've got to tell yourself, I'm not ordinary. That plague ends tonight. That calamity ends tonight. You are more than a conqueror. Aliyah, eh, Aliyah, eh, eh, Aliyah, eh, eh, Aliyah, the name of Jesus, you have the testimony of the blood. How can you be defeated? I curse every growth in your body tonight. Every growth in your body that is not of God,
Jesus,
I command growth now, come out of your body.
Amen.
The final witness I touch tonight is the gathering together of the believers. In Matthew 18 verse 19, it say, wherever two or three of you are gathered, it say, there I am in the midst of you. And it say, whatsoever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. Whatsoever you lose on earth is loose in heaven. If two or three can command such authority, look around you, how many are we here? If two or three can bind something on earth and is bound in heaven, brothers and sisters, look around you, how many two or threes are here? Somebody give the Lord a shout. Yeah! Shout glory! Are you ready to jump up and fight in the spirit? Barakata kamon. Zeta. Ariado. Bararuata. Zeta. Maido. Zaktu. Can you pray in the Holy Ghost? It's time to take over. Maruara, Shadow, Lakida, Barakato, Barakatoata, Sasato, Paranakapita, Shatatakunda, Rakapato. In the name of Jesus, we are about to address issues now. It's time to see wonders with your eyes. The things we share, they are not lecture materials. They are realities in the spirit. The name of Jesus is not a lecture. The blood of Jesus is not a lecture. The authority we command by our corporate gathering is not a lecture. They are witnesses that God has left us. And so right now, I want you to fight. Using the name of Jesus, using the blood of Jesus, every arrow shot at you, every power stopping you, every affliction in your body, can you go ahead and contest now? I want to see the warriors in battle. Where are the fighters? Welalo Machados, Barakada Tuada, Penelakuda, Mariato, Wadden, and the Garatos. Where are the warriors? I want us to fight in the spirit. I want you to contend in the spirit. Contend in the spirit. Maraboy. Barakada. Delegabano Sadata Kahiata. Rajalo. Rada Rada Rada. Sekabani. Matati. Barakada Dadoa. Rada Dada Dada Dada. In the name of Jesus.
Jesus.
The first thing God is doing tonight is that He's breaking the power of witchcraft. Demonic patterns, demonic oppressions, demonic intelligence, dimensions of darkness that has held men backward, that they cannot move forward. The more you struggle, the more you sink. The more you struggle, the more you are retarded. Right now, in the name of Jesus, we take authority over the powers of witchcraft, over the manipulations of darkness, stopping people from ascending, stopping people from making progress. In the name of Jesus, they are cursed. They are cursed. They are cursed. We break those powers. We break those powers. We break those powers. We break those powers. We command you, go forward. Begin to prosper. It's not time to be alone. This is the hour to fight. It's not time.
Most of you here should be global voices by now, but there are powers that will not let you.
In the name of Jesus, I'm seeing growth now leave people's bodies. Some of you, they've put things in your bodies. Things are moving in your body, and there are weights in your stomach. Sometimes your body is like it's not your own. And so right now, everything planted in your body and every growth on your body that is not of God,
Jesus,
I decree by the fire of the Holy Ghost, at the count of three, everything that is not of God in your body, it comes out now. Holy Ghost, one.
Jesus.
Holy Ghost, two.
Jesus.
Holy Ghost, three.
Jesus.
Come out of their body. Come out of their body. Mayato, Velakada. Ushers, help them. Those girls are vanishing now. They are vanishing. Everything planted that is not of God, we are uprooted now. We are uprooted now.
Jesus.
We are uprooted now. Those of you here, stretch your hands in my direction. Father, such as I carry, I give them now. Take that fire. Take that fire. Take that fire. Take that fire. Mararo. Balataka. My God, my God, in the name of Shalatabe, Areta Tabaya, Elona the Vacadiaco, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, it's about to get violent. It's about to get violent. Now, hear this. Every form of sickness, deafness, blindness,
Jesus,
dumbness, lameness, paralysis, blood conditions, organ conditions,
Jesus,
from the crown of your head to the soles of your feet, in the name of Jesus, be healed now. I command deaf ears open. I command blind eyes see. I command growth vanish. Those who could not walk, stand up now. This is your hour. If you couldn't walk, stand up. If you have a walking aid, lift it up. The time has come. By the power of the Holy Ghost, from the crown of your head to the soles of your feet, be healed now. Ears open. Eyes see. Growth go. Pains be gone. Arthritis pains. I curse you. I curse you. I rebuke paralysis. I rebuke paralysis. I decree they go. Goiter, I command you, lion. In the name of Jesus. I rebuke goiter.
Jesus.
I rebuke cancer.
Jesus.
If you couldn't walk, begin to walk. We cause affliction now. Deaf ears open. Blind eyes see. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Let's be sensitive for a second. The Holy Ghost is about to walk through this place. Deaf ears are opening. Blind eyes are seeing. Bone conditions, by the power of the Holy Ghost, now be healed. Those who couldn't walk, stand up. This is your time. There's growth in your body. It vanishes now. Every pain condition on the back, on the waist, on the neck, I curse those pains now. In the name of Jesus, be healed. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father.
Please lift your hands and receive. You have to be sensitive now. This is that moment of the Spirit. Lift your hands and receive now. Ears, begin to hear. Eyes, begin to see. Pains, be gone now. I speak to bones. I speak to tendons. I speak to muscular conditions. In the name of Jesus, be healed. I lose the chains. Thank you, Father. 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 My God, a fire is about to fall here. A fire. Because as God is healing, He is also anointing. So river flow, let it an old river flow in your church once again. Let eternity be seen. Somebody with a breath condition has just been healed. An asthmatic condition towards my right here. Somebody with asthma, you have just been healed. I want that person to run here now. That demon just left you. Maravakadosh. Help that sister coming. Maya Levi. Zedekana. Barakado Sadakias. River flow, river flow. Let it an old river flow in your church once again. Let eternity be seen. River flow, river flow. Let it an old river flow in your church once again. Let eternity be seen. That demon live forever. The Lord is touching people. Please be sensitive. I beg you. I beg you. Be sensitive. There are too many things happening in the spirit. What's wrong with him? Holy Ghost, strength, power of the Holy Ghost. Allow him under the anointing. I curse death. Come out of him.
Were blessed by this message you just listened to and you wish to make Jesus your Lord and personal Savior, kindly repeat the prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I believe in your Son Jesus Christ and that He died for my sins and was raised from the dead for my justification. I therefore confess with my mouth that Jesus is the Lord of my life. I receive eternal life into my spirit. I am born again. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
If you just said this prayer, please send us an email at info@encounterjesusministry.org or info.ejmi.ng@gmail.com. You can also visit our website at www.encounterjesusministry.org.